A friend is the voice of reason.
When he started drinking, that's when everything changed, John.
After Half Brothers.
How drunk were you?
Let's say I'd had a good time.
Get in a full-on feud.
Patrick got up, opened the door, and that's when Gary nailed him. Just flat out nailed
him.
Boom, right in the face. Patrick went down on the ground, and Gary never got off.
Vernon, I'm so glad I have you.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Kerry McGee is suing his half-brother, Patrick Bailey, for a loan for his father's burial and for an assault.
Order. All rise. This is case number 4 on the calendar in the matter of McGee versus Bailey.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Sir, have a seat.
Mr. McGee, Mr. Bailey is your half-brother. You share a mother.
Yes, sir.
I knew I was going to do that.
Just let it go.
Thank you.
Your name wouldn't happen to be Vernon, would it?
Correct.
Perfect. I'm so glad. Uncross your hands.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. This case has many moving parts, so let me take it serially for me so that I like to keep my life as simple as possible. The first thing that you're claiming is a loan to Mr. Bailey. His father died.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Bailey didn't have money, according to you, to have him cremated, and you loaned him the money for the funeral expenses.
Actually, it was more towards the burial.
Okay. Now, when did your father pass away, Mr. Bailey?
January 28, 2013.
Were you his only surviving child?
No, I have two sibling sisters.
But they were not able to contribute to his funeral?
No, my father's funeral is fully paid for with his insurance from his work, his union pension.
Okay. So is it your statement that your brother did not give you any money towards the funeral?
No, ma'am. He gave me money.
How much did he give you?
He gave me $1,300.
In what month did he give you the $1,300?
March 9th, 2013.
Your father died?
January 28th, 2013.
Okay. So a little over a month after your father died, he gave you $1,300. What was that money for?
It was supposed to be for helping me with bills because I wasn't working at the time that my father's funeral had been taking place.
Okay. So there were some expenses that you had to lay out?
Personal expenses, not for my father's funeral.
That were unusual for you?
I was unemployed at the time, yes.
Okay. And what arrangements did you make to pay him back?
There were no arrangements. I gave him the money back. He was sitting at a blackjack table in the casino at Circus Circus. I gave him the money back. He had already been drinking.
On what date did you give him the money back?
The same day, March 9th.
So he gave you $1,300 and you gave it back to him?
We went to Las Vegas on the promise, because he's got a drinking problem, that he would not drink at all that whole weekend. And as soon as we got up there, he started drinking. I don't drink.
And?
At that point, after having numerous instances with his drinking, it wasn't worth me having the money. I gave it back to him at the blackjack table.
Did anybody witness that?
No, ma'am.
Where was Vernon? Because Vernon went with you on this trip to Vegas.
Yes, ma'am.
You and Vernon are friends?
Yes. He's friends with him also. That's how I met him.
All three of you friends?
Correct.
Okay, Vernon, why don't you stand up, because I'm going to have lots of questions for you. Okay, so Mr. McGee, you don't remember him giving you the money back?
He never gave me the money, Matt. I loaned him the money on March 2nd.
May I see the paper that he wants to show me?
Yeah, sure. These guys were both, never mind, I'll save it for later.
This doesn't tell me anything, Mr. McGee. This just tells me that you took money out of the bank.
Well, I was hoping my little brother would tell the truth if you asked him. He was right there in the truck when we went to the bank each time.
Well, what I don't understand, let me tell you what I don't understand. I don't understand this whole case because from what I gather, it says his father passed away in January, January 28th. You say Patrick's dad passed away on March 3rd, 2013. Didn't have any money, so I loaned him $1,300.
Which I did.
Since Patrick was so upset about his dad's passing, I decided to invite him to NASCAR.
NASCAR race in Las Vegas, ma'am.
Which was a couple of days later.
The same week, yes, ma'am.
I mean, I don't sort of equate that. Dad passing, depressed, sad, so I'm going to take you to NASCAR.
I knew that he was a fan of NASCAR, and I thought by taking him to Las Vegas to the upcoming race, it might take his mind off.
Well, but you weren't in NASCAR because you were gambling.
Well, the race wasn't until the next day, ma'am.
Yeah. So I have no idea what this is for, sir.
It's just to show that I'd made draws from my bank account.
Well, you made withdrawals. Fine. Good. Doesn't tell you where it went. Doesn't say what it's for. Doesn't say anything. It's not evidence.
Being brothers, I wouldn't expect to get an IOU from him.
Well, good. He says that he wasn't taking any money from you because he got drunk.
That's a lie. Flat out blatant lie.
So then he said he gave it back. Now, Vernon.
Yes, ma'am.
You're friends of all of them, right?
Correct.
Patrick was or was not working then?
He was not working.
So who was going to pay for his trip to Vegas?
His brother was.
So he was going to foot the bill for the hotel, whatever, gas, meals, everything else?
No, Your Honor, we were all going to split it.
Well, how was he going to split it if he wasn't working?
Well, that's why Carrie loaned him the money.
For what?
For the trip and his father's burial.
Now Vernon, I'm so glad I have you. So what you're telling me is that the money wasn't for a funeral.
Not really.
No. The money was so that the three of you could have a Vegas vacation.
Exactly.
It's becoming a little more clear. I love clear. So there would be no reason, listen to me, Vernon, there would be no reason for Patrick to give him back money because he was still in Vegas, right?
Correct.
And you did stay in Vegas.
Correct.
Right? You stayed in the hotel room.
Until?
You ate until this assault happened later.
Correct.
But you stayed in Vegas, and the assault happened later. You didn't know that there was going to be an assault later, right?
No.
So there would be no reason for Patrick to walk up to the blackjack table and give him back any money.
No. When he started drinking, that's when everything changed, Your Honor.
Well, everything changed, but you were still in Vegas.
Correct.
Did Patrick at any point say to you, listen, will you cover all my expenses? Listen to me, Vernon.
I am.
I want you to listen to me really carefully because, you know, you've watched me before.
Oh, yeah.
So you know the drill.
Correct.
Did Patrick ever say to you, Vernon, I'm giving back McGee his money because he's drinking and I know what happens when he drinks. Will you give me the money so that we can stay here in Vegas together? Did he ever say that to you, Vernon?
No, ma'am. No.
So one way or another, he needed money.
Yeah, but...
One way or another, he needed money
there. Correct.
And he's not working.
Right.
And he didn't have any money because, according to him, he's tapped out, right?
Correct.
Perfect. See how easy that was? Drunk or sober, you didn't even have to say anything.
I love it.
Don't you just love this job? $1,300. Now the next part of this case has to do with what you claim was an assault.
Yes, ma'am. On both
now, Mr.
Behalf.
McGee, did you see how fair I was?
Yes, ma'am. I'm listening.
Am I fair? Am I a fair person?
Yes, ma'am.
How drunk were you?
Let's say I had a good time.
Let's say you got pretty drunk.
Well, downstairs gambling, drinks go together. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, some people do, some people don't, but you were pretty loaded. So your memory of that event, I would say, was probably a little fuzzy from being pretty loaded.
I wasn't that drunk, ma'am.
Yeah, I think you were pretty loaded.
If I can tell my story.
Now, careful, watch here. Does Patrick drink?
No, but they do eat enough Xanax.
Patrick doesn't drink.
No, ma'am.
So I'd rather hear what happened in the hotel room from Patrick rather than you, because he has a counterclaim. You have a claim for assault. He has a counterclaim. You ready, Patrick?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I already have found in my own mind that this money was not returned to your brother.
But it was.
Just don't tell me anymore. I want you to tell me what happened in the hotel room. Does Vernon drink? Maybe.
None.
Just a perfect. And I don't want to hear from Patrick because Patrick is already there. I want you to tell me what happened in the hotel room. Were you there?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like you to tell me.
We were asleep. It was like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning.
The two of you?
Yes. Carrie was out gambling and drinking, whatever you were doing. We were just crashed out in the room. And 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, someone started beating on the door. And we knew who it was. Patrick had locked the door. And Carrie got...
Locked the door?
Well, there's two locks on the door, Your Honor. You have the key lock, and
you have the double lock.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we actually double locked. And Carrie got mad because he could not enter the room. Patrick got up, opened the door, and that's when Carrie nailed him. Just flat out
nailed him.
Boom! Right in the face. Patrick went down on the ground, and Carrie never got off him.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
took two security guards to get him off of me. He claims that I hit him. I never touched him.
I opened the door
and he hit me. Cold cocked. Bam. Done. Out.
He's out.
On the ground.
And later today.
You got together and arranged to get the two dogs together, your little boy and your little girl. And you want $500 as a stud fee. But here's the line. The stud was a dud.
Cases, real people, Judge Judy. Kerry McGee says his half-brother, Patrick Bailey, owes for a loan and for an assault. Patrick is countersuing, claiming Kerry put him in the hospital when he punched him in the face.
Go ahead.
I got on the phone, started calling security. Help, help. Security came, ambulance came. Took Patrick away in the ambulance.
Took two security guards to get him off of me. He claims that I hit him. I never touched him.
Touch him.
I opened the door and he hit me. Cold cocked. Bam. Done. Out.
He's out.
On the ground.
Did you have medical bills?
Yes, I do.
I'd like to see them and I'd like to see your injuries, please.
This is not the first instance of this kind of behavior from him.
Well, you can't pick your relatives.
No, that's true.
But you can pick who you want to go away with.
We've never had a fight before, Your Honor.
No, but he's attempted to physically harm me. He's been arrested at my house 4 times.
Then you should learn. For a sober guy, you should learn.
Oh, you always put trust in
him. Yeah, I know. Okay, so I do believe, in fact, that you gave him $1,300.
Yes, ma'am.
He has a counterclaim for $5,000 for assaulting him. He was injured. Looks to me he was injured pretty badly. So you're not going to get your $1,300 because I'm awarding him $4,000 on his counterclaim. That's going to eat up your $1,300. Do you understand?
I guess I do now.
You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Judgment on the counterclaim for $2,700. I've deducted the $13 that you owe him. Do you understand? Perfect. If you don't understand, Vernon will explain it to you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Officer, excuse you, may step out.
I was happy as a clam when I came back to my room. I was $800 up.
All he had to do was knock on the door, which he did, and I opened the door and he clocked me.
It's like, come on, you don't go to Las Vegas to watch people have fun. You go there to have some fun.
I went to the hospital in an ambulance.
Oh, they left me in Las Vegas, but I didn't mind. I was $800 up.
Would you want to ride home with somebody that just assaulted you?
It's like, get over it, little brother. I hurt your feelings more than anything.
I don't ever want to see him again.
We should let this be water under the bridge a long time ago.
His alcoholism is beyond help.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Urtecho versus Aceves. Step forward.
Dominique Urtecho is suing family friend Miguel Aceves for an unpaid stud fee after they attempted to breed their English bulldogs.
Since I read your complaint and answer, I actually have been waiting to deliver this line. You'll just have to wait another second. This is what the case is about. You have an English bulldog?
Yes.
And you have an English bulldog?
Yes.
And your English bulldog is a little boy?
Yes.
And your English bulldog is a little girl?
Yes.
And you decided you wanted to breed your little girl bulldog to have a litter of puppies to sell. And you got together and arranged to get the two dogs together, your little boy and your little girl. You did. And you want $500 as a stud fee.
Correct.
For your dog. And Mr. Aceves says, could have had the $500, but here's the line. The stud was a dud.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You brought the plaintiff's dog to where your dog lives?
Yes.
And you and your friend tried to get them together?
My friend did, yes.
That's not...
No, he's
no,
not.
No.
He's not here.
Nobody's copping to that job, is that right?
Real cases, real people, Judge Judy. Dominique Urtecho is suing family friend Miguel Aceves for an unpaid stud fee after they attempted to breed their English bulldogs.
Now, because the stud was a dud, he doesn't feel as if he has to give you a thing.
That's not necessarily true.
Well, there wasn't a litter
of
puppies.
No, there was not, no.
So, there wasn't a litter of puppies.
No.
Now, because I could do this faster, I could schlep it out another couple of seconds, which I choose to do, because this, after all, is a television program, and we have to make some television. And this is a good visual for everybody anyway, Bird. Now, usually animals can procreate themselves in the wild. That's how nature works.
Right.
However, I do know that one of the breeds that's difficult to breed without a little bit of assistance is the English Bulldog. Is that right?
Correct.
And, you know, sometimes a professional has to sort of help them along. You didn't have a professional, correct?
No.
You brought the plaintiff's dog to where your dog lives?
Yes.
And you and your friend tried to get them together?
My friend did, yes.
Was the coupling successful?
It was artificially inseminated.
It was? By a vet?
A co-worker of mine, he does it.
A co-worker did it?
Yes.
Oh, God. I can't let this go. How did a co-worker artificially inseminate your dog?
They sell an artificially insemination kit, and they artificially, with a catheter, you inseminate it to the female.
Oh, this is going to be a very bad thing. Are you ready to use a little editing, Mr. Douthit? How does your friend gather the semen in order to do that?
There's a special tube that he uses and manually gets the semen.
Oh, my God, you must have wanted this litter in the worst way. What does your friend do for a living?
He works in a warehouse.
That's not...
No, he's not here.
Nobody's copping to that job, is that right? It didn't work. So what you're saying is, despite the fact that there were no puppies, you are entitled to your stud fee anyway.
Yes.
Show me.
Here's the contract that Mr.
I'd like
Steve
to see
has signed.
It says, if the cash fee is paid at the time of the service, and no puppies result from the breeding, the stud dog owner will provide the bitch with a free return service of the male stud. Well, the first contingency of that wasn't met.
No, it was not. He promised me a puppy. There was no puppy.
He can't promise you something that wasn't delivered.
My dog provided a service.
No, your dog didn't provide any service. Didn't provide a service.
Nothing's a guarantee.
Nothing's guaranteed. Listen, this is your contract. It's the four corners of this agreement. So,
and I agree, it's a bit ambiguous.
Listen to me, because of several things. First, because of, to me, the doctrine of fairness.
Right.
I am going to interpret this contract to its letter because he really didn't get what he bargained for, which was a litter of puppies that he could sell. He didn't get that as a result of this breeding. So you have a written agreement. So I am going to interpret it as literally as I possibly can in his favor, because aside from the fact that it's in writing, there is a moral imprimative here because he got nothing from this arrangement.
And neither did
I. You lost nothing. You want him to get nothing plus give you money. And there's a basic unfairness about that. So I am going to pay attention. I'm telling you what I'm doing. There's not a give and take.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, I am going to construe this literally, and it says, if the cash fee is paid at the time of service, which it was not, and no puppies result from this match, the stud dog owner will provide the bitch with a free return.
Yes.
So that whole first sentence doesn't apply to your arrangement.
No.
The second sentence is, if puppies are born, which they were not, that whole sentence doesn't apply. So nothing applies. To this particular breeding, nothing in this contract
Can
applies.
Can I just say one thing?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Perfect. Good. Now you can tell me, and then I'm going to dismiss your case, and you can go home.
I have bred my dog several times. This is about the 12th time that I bred him. The normal procedure is I would go to the vet's office. I would meet the bitch's owner. They would do it. They would give me the $500, and I never see them again.
Great. Whose contract is this?
I pulled it up online.
Well, then it's your contract. You wrote it.
So because I provided a service, I get nothing because...
You don't get anything pursuant to this agreement because nothing happened pursuant to this agreement. If cash fee is paid at the time of service and no puppies, there was no cash fee and no puppies.
It's $500 stud fee or a puppy.
No. This is what it says. Yeah, this is a guarantee.
And I get...
This is what it says. Goodbye. Thank you.
Stud is a stud.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy...
Judy presides in primetime.
You're getting it, not me.
From New York's family court.
Clear, sir.
To America's favorite judge.
Start banging your head on the table and don't stop until I tell you.
Judge Judy's first primetime special. Check your local listings.
I provided a service and he knows how the bulldog world works.
I'm very happy with the decision.
It's just completely unfair.
She agreed on pick of the litter and she wanted to change her contract later.
The stud shows up. There's never a guarantee. You pay the $500. And you take your chances on it.
I'm going to take it to the vet.
I will edit out the ambiguities in it, definitely, and not do business with him anymore.
I'm glad this is over.